année, c'est le temps d'aimer. C'est Noël en Acadie. Embrasser les petits et chanter. Laissez là tous vos ennuis. C'est Noël en Acadie.
Voilà, on termine avec Benjamin Bessette, sa production 2020, son plus récent album À l'aube de l'aurore. C'est sa composition par les musiques de l'album Lumière dans l'infini. Au revoir.
J'ai parcouru les chemins qui m'ont mené vers toi. J'ai chanté des refrains pour faire connaître ta gloire.
Hi, and welcome to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Alex Laney, and this is Disability Talk. In today's episode, I'm speaking to Luca Farmer, a 16-year-old male with cerebral palsy. Disability Talk is something that is extremely important to me because I myself am disabled. I have a version of cerebral palsy called right hemiplegia, along with epilepsy. So I wanted to make this a series because I think that is extremely important for people to realize the lives of disabled people and the disability community more in general, and spread as much awareness about any sort of diagnosis as possible. I honestly couldn't have thought of a better way to kickstart this series, so without further ado, here is Disability Talk.
My name is Luca Farmer, and I am 16 years old, but I will be turning 17 years old in October 28th. I was born with cerebral palsy.
Can you tell us a little bit about your diagnosis and what you know about your disability?
Well, my mom got into a car accident when I was still in her belly, and then I pretty much had it since I was born. I also got a leg brace for my foot because it was a bit shorter than my other foot. And my left arm is a weaker arm than my right arm.
Do you want to discuss a little bit about accessibility, like at school? Do you have extra time to do things, and do you have extra time to get to and from classes, stuff like that?
For accessibility, I have, in most of my classes, I have a helper there ready for me. And for time, I have 5 minutes extra time that everyone else has before the whole stampede at Mac comes in.
Do you have a resource block?
This year, I replaced science with resource because science was just adding too much of load of work to my homework. So we just had to get it out. I have basically replaced resource with science this year because last year science added too much of a load onto the homework.
And what does resource help you with? Are there helpers that will get you accessibility that you need, or any sort of extra time for exams?
Well, this year in resource, I have resource in a science class. And I have an aide there to help me with any topic I really need to work on, whether it be math, English or study for some history or anything like that.
In your opinion, do you think that there is enough help at this school? Do you feel like your help and what you need is approached the right way? Do you think there's enough help and you're getting everything that you need from this school?
I do believe I have the help I need because I have pretty much a helper in every single class except for math, but that's no issue because I'm a big mathematician.
That's awesome. Okay, what are some of your favorite hobbies?
Well, for one, my two favorite colors are blue and green. I just fell in love with those colors. The food I like is sushi. I do so many video games. The most prominent one that I'm currently playing is Dragon City. It's been around for 8 years now, and I'm a bit obsessed with it, but I also do play console games on the Xbox, such as Lego games and a few other ones.
Do you mind also talking about your sporting and how you adapt to playing sports as well as how you adapt to playing the video games that you play?
Well, for sports, I do I can easily do standing up basketball because of my height and long arms, and I also do two para sports, para hockey, which is basically hockey in a sledge and two sticks with spikes on the ends, and then wheelchair basketball, which I also call para basketball.
Do you have any experience with a rehabilitation center for physiotherapy?
Well, they just do some like banging on knees, just checking my leg and stuff, just look at my leg, at my shoes, just to check on that kind of stuff.
Do you remember when you got your first ever leg brace?
No, because it's probably been several of years, it was probably when I was just born, so.
That's totally fine. I've been wearing braces my entire life as well, for my leg and for my arm. Can you tell us a little bit about when and where and how you wear the brace?
When is only when I go to school and for any outings, because without it, shoe that I normally have my brace in would make my foot go very loose. It's adjusted to fit the brace only, so. But when I get home, I take it off, wear it that much in the house, or I don't even wear it at all. Even when I'm able to, I just decide to not do it.
Yeah, I have that issue too. I'm pretty guilty of it. I don't wear my brace for my arm as much as I probably should, but we don't talk about that. What are some day-to-day tasks or day-to-day things that you have to do as a regular routine that you have had to learn how to adapt to? Like,
have been doing some known like regular things, just like waking up at the right time, making a bit of a fancy breakfast, eggs, and prepping my eggs, which I wait for my hash browns just to be done cooking. And I also do brushing teeth, have my almond milk with my meds. So basically what kind of like a normal person's step by day by day steps, but with medication and a bit of preparation, self-preparation.
That is really good. Thank you for explaining all of your routine. I think that is great for it to be recognized that disabled people can, you know, live life on a regular day-to-day basis just like anyone else would, even if they have some things that they need to do differently. Perfect. So if there is one thing that you can say to the disabled community is...
Well, I'm like, just try to get used to, for the disabled people, just try to get used to what you're struggling with, because it just might become as a strength at some point.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about your school life and how it was leading up to you being in school right now?
my school life before going to Mac, which is probably so far the coolest and safest place. Well, I've had a bit of a rough ride because I've been bullied along the way. Yeah, I've been pushed around, abused by told some unhappy names, and yeah, we had to get rid of a few bullies in my life. So.
It is amazing how many people don't understand what the disabled community has to deal with on a regular day-to-day basis, and I think that the fact that these issues are being brought to the surface, able-bodied people are now realizing and hearing about all of this awareness that is being spread about the disabled community, that things will hopefully change a lot more. Have you ever heard of Defi Spachtsif?
Yes. When I was a very young age, I did it a lot, and I got a few medals from there, so I'm just very glad I got a few medals from doing my para sports and Defi Spachtsif.
Yeah, so you felt like it was a good, safe place, and it was nice because you were surrounded by people who understood at least somewhat the way that you were living and the fact that you were disabled, because I myself also went to Defi Spachtsif for about 5 years, so I have my fair share of experience with Defi Spachtsif as well. I truly, truly appreciate you speaking to us about your disability and about living life and sports and Defi Spachtsif, and I think that it is extremely important for disability rights, accessibility, as well as just bringing awareness to the disabled community is extremely important. So thank you again, Luca. Are there any closing words that you would like to say?
Thanks for interviewing me. This is my first real interview that I've had. So it was an honor to be interviewed.
Was that ever an amazing conversation? Thank you so much again to Luca Farmer for letting me interview you and exploring as well as discussing extremely important topics to do with what it's like living with a disability. For anyone listening who is interested in knowing what rehabilitation center Luca goes to, it is called CMR, Centre Montérégien de Réadaptation, and it is located in Vaudreuil. As well as for the para sports that Luca participates in, the para hockey is run by Para Hockey Montreal, and the para basketball is run by Les Mini Aiglons out of Valleyfield. Once again, my name is Alex Laney on John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM. If you liked the content of this interview, please don't hesitate to check out my TikTok for more awareness on cerebral palsy as well as epilepsy. You can find me at alex.slaney__. I appreciate you all so much for listening, and have an amazing day, night, or whenever I'm catching you.
What you just heard was the band Undefined, a Montreal punk band that's basically just trying to get their foot in the door. My name's Adam Sheridan. I'm here for John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. And I managed to pull together an interview with the frontman of this band, Sampreet Arneja. And I think we came up with some pretty interesting stuff about what he's doing, what the band's plan is, and what he does in his free time aside from the band. Alright, so first things first, how are you?
I'm doing swell. How are you, my friend?
Not bad. Not bad at all. So I guess we could start this off with the name of the band. Why Undefined?
This idea of Undefined really came from the idea that there's nothing really that puts a name to what we are. We all have music backgrounds and identify with genres that are completely different. And I think that's what makes us special as a band, is that when we come together and we create something that blends and transcends what normal genres would provide. And it really can't be associated with a certain culture. Punk music in general kind of associates itself with a variety of cultures and subgenres, and it allows for people of a deep variety of backgrounds to come together. And so we wanted to really harness that idea and become undefined in the sense that we will not let labels depict what we can achieve. We will be and transcend whatever we want to, whatever we choose to, and whatever we put the effort in to do.
That's interesting. Okay. And on the topic of labels and stuff like that, you mentioned punk. Would you consider that to be your main genre, or do you fill more roles? Because I know your music tastes. I know that you're into punk, you're into regular, like, traditional metal, that kind of stuff.
Well, punk is one of the genres that we all kind of connect more deeply to, because we do all have certain backgrounds in that style of music, so it is more apparent in our music. But that what we have released and recorded right now is about a tenth of what we have actually written, and a lot of our music is quite it goes back and forth between what it can be. We have ska songs, we have metal songs, we have alternative songs, we have songs that are just plain acoustic and stupid. We have 3-second songs that are just complete satires on what religion is, and you can't really put a label on what kind of genre we stick to.
Okay, that makes sense. Can you give us a rundown of what you've done so far as a group?
Well, as a group, we have released an EP, a single that got quite a bit of traction. It got played on radio stations across Canada and in certain countries across the world. We wrote the song Kasan that we released as a single after our EP that spoke to the farmers' crisis that was going on in India, and all the proceeds of that song went to charity. That song ended up going semi-viral. It reached about 100,000 views. We got played on radio stations across Canada and then some countries around the world as well. So that's as far as we go for our releases. So it's a total for about 6 songs. And other than that, we have played shows around downtown for the past few years. We've played about, I'd say, maybe 5-6 shows as a band. We recently played a show at the Montreal Arts Centre, and we hope to do more shows.
Having 6 songs under your belt so far released, and you say that's only about what you have out is about 10% of what you have written, what do you see as the future plans for the band?
Well, I see with Undefined, it seems to be that we release, we play, we produce at the rate of what we feel is comfortable. And so it's kind of really hard to put down any plans for the band. And maybe there's a scapegoat because we're not really all too great at being productive. Maybe that's, you know, me trying to slide my way out of this question. But I think deep down it's also a reflection of how we function as a band. We improvise, we thrive under that passion that comes out of feeling really inspired to do a song. And so when that moment comes, when we're able to come up with that passion project, you know it will be better than everything we've ever put out. And you know that we're going to do it with all of our energy and all of our passion. So I can't really answer that question very directly, unfortunately.
That's fair. As a frequent listener of your music, it's always astounding the amount of effort that, because I know that you do everything yourself. Your band does everything on its own. You guys have no label. You have no mix. You don't really have an audio engineer, a mixer, any of that kind of stuff. You're completely independent. It's astounding the amount of effort you put into your work to get the quality that you do for just being four people in a basement, essentially.
That kind of comes from, I think, our roots in punk and the idea of DIY, because I've always been a strong believer in anything you want to achieve, you can achieve yourself. You can achieve within your own grasps. And I think a lot of times putting your vision in other people's hands gets really messy, because your vision is given to you for a reason. It's if it was meant for anyone else, then it wouldn't be your vision. It's your vision because you need to see it through fully as far as you can take it. And the more people you get involved with that, the more stretched out it becomes, because explaining that vision, it's like a game of broken telephone. So I think with the type of music that we're making, with the type of stories we're trying to tell, with the type of emotions we're trying to convey, we have no other choice than really to self-produce everything we do, because it's really up to us to be able to follow our vision through to the very end.
That makes a lot of sense. With everything that you guys are doing, it's with everything that everyone in the group is doing, it's impressive that you're able to manage to pull through as much music as you guys do. I wanted to ask you this. I know that this band isn't the only thing that you do with your time. So, do you care to speak about anything else that you do besides The Undefined?
I am a sous chef at Escondite West Island. Other than that, I have been working at a community organization, which we are officially 3 days away from my contract ending with Y4Y Quebec. But I did a podcast project called C'est la vie with Y4Y for the past 9 months, where I traveled around the province of Quebec speaking with English-speaking youth and small communities and talking about issues and challenges they face and how we can address those challenges, how we can together as a community come together and facilitate life in Quebec, facilitate this feeling of belongingness and facilitate surviving in this very turbulent political environment we're living in today. And I think together and through this podcast project, we've been able to come up with a lot of cool conclusions and come up with a lot of these ideas and problems that are coming up in these communities that we don't really get to hear about. And yeah, that's just some of the stuff I do on the side. I don't really like to put down, and I know this is like cheesy and going back to my whole band stuff, but I don't really like to point at one or two things that I like to do in my life, because at the end of the day, I try to make every day an adventure and jump into something new, whether that's learning a new craft or doing something completely stupid and erratic and jumping into a completely new adventure or a field that I'm not even justified for. But Y4Y has been a great journey. I've loved everything about it, and despite the contract and project coming to a close, I'm hoping that that something new will come out of this, a new adventure, a new opportunity, and a new way to serve the community.
That's amazing. Everything that you guys have kind of done with Y4Y, I've stayed on top of it a little bit. It's always been interesting to see what you don't really think about English speaking issues in Quebec much. You don't really think of that as being a thing. However, it seems through your podcast, it's pretty evident that it is a a much bigger aspect than a lot of people expect. Again, thank you so much for being here, Sam. Always appreciate it. Anything else you want to say before you head out?
Thank you, Adam, for this awesome interview. I thank all of you for listening, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your day.
Well, that was Sam Preet-Arnasia from the band Undefined, Montreal punk band. Awesome person, as always. Once again, you've been listening to John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. This has been Adam Sheridan, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Isabella Ninchevich with my partner, Alex Slaney, and today we're discussing John Abbott College's mental health resources. We asked students on campus and an expert's opinion on whether they think John Abbott College has enough mental health resources for students in need. Here are the answers we got.
I personally don't think that John Abbott has enough resources because I know of a few, but most of the time, like, I know that they're fully booked or, like, it's hard to get in touch with people. So, no, I don't think there's enough.
Okay, so personally, I don't think that we have enough resources. It's more, like, to help you find out what you want to do with yourself in the future, and I don't think that they have enough resources for mental health, for psychologists and things like that, or even like to help people get the help that they need for at home if there's at home issues or things like that. So yeah,
I think that John Abbott would benefit from more specific kind of mental health resources, like for, I don't know, drug addiction, or one that's like big with like teenagers is like the nicotine addiction, like people vaping a lot on campus. I feel like if John Abbott like were to broaden its mental health resources, a lot of students would benefit from it.
Congress has actually already spoken about mental health before. We've had several discussions and ideas on what to implement into the school. We've talked about zones for relaxation, maybe a nap zone, somewhere calm for people to take a rest, especially because you can't really sleep in the clubs or, you know, just in the hallways. We've also thought about adding other amenities, maybe like a place where people can de-stress, maybe selling, like, you know, those fidget toys. More concrete changes, like adding more psychiatrists, having a mental health, like, we already have a mental health day, but adding more stuff to help people with big problems, such as awareness week for stuff like panic attacks, because a lot of people don't actually know how to deal with panic attacks.
All right, so I believe John Abbott maybe have the services, but don't provide them efficiently enough. For example, last semester, I was not in a good spot and tried to get in contact with a counselor, and it took months before I could see one, and by then my grades had already dropped. I had already dropped a class that I couldn't follow anymore, so yeah, it was way too long.
And here is Michelle Quaz, the psychology professor at John Abbott College.
Again, so it's about John Abbott services. We do have several services. Specifically for mental health, we have our counseling services. So we do have drop-in. I know that there's emergency drop-in and also by appointments. So, but for more details, I mean, they're going to be the ones to have it, but we do offer that service for sure. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's also a new employee to our mental health program here, and it's a dog. It's Max, the wellness dog, and so he's actually an official employee for Abbott Go, and it's a kind of pet therapy, which is more and more common today. So I thought that was really super cool.
To conclude today's episode, Michelle stated that there are enough resources at John Abbott College for mental health for students. However, the students did not agree. We believe that the reason why students do not agree is because resources that the college
have are not advertised enough. For better mental health resources, there needs to be a change in the way that the college presents mental health. My name is Alex Laney with Isabella Ninchevich on John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM.
How I lost myself again, but I remember you.
Comme le ministre pour toi, samedi midi.